Today's Puritans aren't the Pilgrims. Today's Puritans are progressives.
Ryan Anderson, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And so the new form of the Puritan mistake, my co-author Sharif Gerges and I have called it progressive Puritanism. These are people who want to force Roman Catholic nuns to pay for contraception. They want to force evangelical bakers to create custom wedding cakes for same-sex weddings. They now want to force Catholic hospitals to perform sex reassignment surgeries and to perform hormone therapy, testosterone therapy on women who want to identify as men. They're the ones trying to shut down faith-based, including Lutheran adoption agencies.
You can listen to Making the Case for Our First Freedoms with Ryan Anderson on an audio DVD or thumb drive of our 2018 Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a financial gift of $300. Order today at issuesetc.org. The Supreme Court turns away far more cases than it agrees to hear. It's just the nature of that part of our government. A lot of people want to have their cases heard. Not all of them get them heard. In fact, it requires 4 votes of the justices in order to even agree to hear a case. And ordinarily, those that go by the wayside don't make headlines, but the last week, a couple did. Just 2 cases that came before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court could not muster the 4 votes to agree to hear it. And they had to do with funding at the state level for Planned Parenthood. Now, we were told, we were assured by the alarmists during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, who were saying from the pro-choice side that if Kavanaugh were confirmed, it would mean almost the immediate overturning of Roe v. Wade. How do they explain this? Kavanaugh was not among those who voted to hear this case or these cases. Joining us to talk about this, Clark Forsythe, the senior counsel at Americans United for Life and author of the book Abuse of Discretion, The Inside Story of Roe v. Wade. Clark, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be with you.
We were told breathlessly by the advocates for abortion on demand that Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the Supreme Court would mean the end of Roe. And how do they explain the fact that Justice Kavanaugh did not vote to even hear a funding case?
Well, as you know, Planned Parenthood and abortion advocates were exaggerating the time frame and the immediacy by which Roe might be overturned to scare senators against voting for Judge Kavanaugh. And also, this particular case, there are these 2 cases, don't directly deal with whether abortion should be funded or whether the federal government should fund abortion. They deal with an important legal issue about whether the federal Medicaid statute allows any Medicaid recipient to sue in federal court to ensure their personal choice of a provider. If you want Dr. Smith to be your doctor and federal Medicaid won't allow Dr. Smith to be your doctor, can you go into federal court and sue to make sure that he is your doctor? So that was one. It's one step removed from funding abortion. And the court decided not to hear that question. And so these cases would not be the right vehicle for reexamining Roe versus Wade. So the fact that Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh did not choose to hear these cases does not mean they missed an opportunity to overturn Roe versus Wade. But having said that, they should have taken these cases because it would have allowed some states to make a decision not to fund Planned Parenthood and abortion providers. And so we were disappointed they didn't take these cases.
So they are offered or they're called upon to review these cases and they decide not to do so. Can we assume that they had other reasons or that in this case, Roberts and Kavanaugh said, look, the lower court seems to have crossed all their T's and dotted all their I's on this. Why do we need to look at this? Could it have been as simple as that?
Well, as you know, Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh didn't write anything, publish anything, release anything publicly as to their reasons. And they don't have to, and in most cases, the justices don't. But as you know, Justice Thomas, joined by Justice Alito and Justice Gorsuch, published a dissent saying we should take these cases, and just because they indirectly involve abortion and the plaintiffs have to be Planned Parenthood, we shouldn't duck these. We should take these. And I think that's a very good sign. I think it's a great sign that Thomas and Alito and Gorsuch publicly said we shouldn't duck this issue. We shouldn't avoid taking cases involving Planned Parenthood. We need to decide these issues. And I think that will bode well for the future. The issue in this case about Medicaid and the Medicaid statute is going to come back to the court in other cases, hopefully as early as 2019. And there are other cases involving abortion before the court, as you know, involving Indiana and the humane disposal of fetal remains, the bodies of unborn children after abortion. Other abortion cases will be coming before the court. So this is not one and done. Other issues will get before the court. We're urging the court to take some other cases. So there will be other opportunities.
Justice Thomas did, in a dissent on this particular decision not to hear, or the default decision not to hear these cases, said, what explains the court's refusal to do its job here? He says further, I suspect that it has something to do with the fact that some respondents in these cases are named Planned Parenthood. Do you think he's right in essentially saying, well, Roberts and Kavanaugh might have been spooked by the presence of Planned Parenthood's name?
Well, you know, I don't think that Justice Thomas would have written a dissent like that, as frank and blunt and bold as it was, and publish it publicly if he didn't, in fact, believe that to be the case. I mean, we can't, talk to any of the justices, personally or privately and ask him. And so what they publish publicly is the best evidence of what they're thinking and their reasons and rationale. And so everybody has been giving credence to what Justice Thomas said, and that Planned Parenthood was the reason that there wasn't a fourth vote, a fourth justice, as you said, to hear these cases. So I think that the fact that Thomas is speaking up with Alito and Gorsuch is a good sign for the future. And I mean, if the court or the justices dodge other important issues like that, I think they'll speak up in the future as well. And I think it shows that pressure within the court and public pressure through public opinion, through elections, are going to be very important going forward to get the new conservative majority to address some of these important issues about abortion.
Some have faulted Chief Justice Roberts by saying that he is overly concerned about public pressure in the other direction. That is, that Roe being so controversial, abortion being such a controversial issue at this particular point in American history, it's better for the court to either proceed incrementally or to perhaps be a little bit cautious on the other side, even though he seems to have a pro-life sentiments, but to be cautious on the other side. Do you think those criticisms of the Chief Justice are fair?
I do, and I think that's why Thomas wrote this dissent. It seems to me to be as likely to be as directed to Chief Justice Roberts as to the brand new Justice Kavanaugh. Ever since Justice Kennedy announced his retirement on June 27th, Chief Justice Roberts has been identified as the man in the middle, meaning that on a court of nine justices, he is not only has the role of Chief Justice, which allows him kind of extra authority and power to decide which cases the court takes and how they're decided and how they're written and how the opinions are written, but he is philosophically in the middle of the court. And that's very important. And so Chief Justice Roberts not only needs to hear from the other justices, which Justice Thomas boldly did with Alito and Gorsuch, but I think he needs to see public opinion supporting the court overturning Roe, as well as elections of pro-life public officials at the federal and state level in 2018, 2020, 2022. I think there is a kind of a silent factor that affects whether the court will overturn a prior decision, and that is politics and elections and electoral support. So pro-life people need to be active in elections, not only in this year, but also in 2020, 2022, electing federal and state public officials who are pro-life.
How confident are you of newly minted Justice Kavanaugh with respect to the future of the pro-life cause?
I believe that he will see the errors of Roe versus Wade as time goes on. I think the court will go slow. I wasn't necessarily surprised by the go-slow approach of Roberts in these cases. I think it will take a series of abortion cases over the next several years, and there will be opportunities to do that. But I think that the court moving to overturn Roe in several years has to be backed up by electoral victories for pro-life federal and state officials, and the justices need to see that. And that's an important factor going forward.
Clark Forsythe is senior counsel at Americans United for Life and author of the book Abuse of Discretion, The Inside Story of Roe v. Wade. You could purchase this book and find out more about Americans United for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Clark, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Todd. Always good to talk with you.
When we come back, it's time for our regular weekly feature called This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, should Christians expect daily miracles? Some say yes. We'll see what Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith has to say about it on the other side of the break. "'Twas the night before Jesus, when all through the earth every creature was stirring for a new baby's birth. Words from The Night Before Jesus, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas book. The Night Before Jesus would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 3 through 5. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Night Before Jesus."
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.